Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Dean Tsalakis is the chief party dude of the party people. He launched Australia's first online party store, started Australia's largest bricks and mortar store, and is now looking to grow his store network Australia-wide. The party people was the first company in Australia on Google AdWords and continues to pioneer to stay ahead of their industry. Hi, Dean. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Thanks. G'day.
I'm really excited to share your story. So shall we get started?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Excellent. All right. So do you want to tell us a bit about where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
So I'm at the Party People, and we're, things are going great for us at the moment. We had a great calendar year last year. We doubled our profit, which was, you know, really probably the best thing we've done in terms of the business profitability for a long time. So we had a really great year in terms of consolidating the business and growing the profitability. And now we're looking forward to opening more stores and also potentially franchising.
Yeah, excellent. So do you want to tell us a bit about where you've been? What's your story to get up to this point?
Yeah, so look, we could be here all day actually, but I'll try to keep it short. So the business, the Party People, started with my mum, who was a clown. And she, you know, she catered for kids' parties, and you know, that was a bit of a passion for hers. It became a bit of a passion. So she started doing she decided to open up a party store, which she also did the clowning and had the party store as well. That did quite well for us. So the business grew, and, you know, she was a pioneer in her own right. She launched the first online party store in Australia in 1999. It took us about a year to do that. So we started in 98, but we got it up there in 99 after all the teething issues we had. And from there, we really, you know, sort of, it's a real platform for the business to continue to grow. I mean, the store at the time was Australia's largest party store. We've now opened a store five times larger than that. So the definition of a large party store now is a lot different. And, you know, she launched that business 99 online, which, you know, things were slow. And, you know, we were getting one sale a month, and that was amazing. We were pretty excited every time that order came in. You know, to today, we were doing hundreds of orders a day. My brother and I took over the business in 2007. And we were both working in separate careers. He was an exercise physiologist, and I was a business analyst at Woolworths. And we just saw a real great opportunity for the business to, you know, run the world and take over the world from an online perspective. So we quit our jobs and started working on the family business, and we took over from our parents so they could retire. And from there, it really grew at a pretty fast rate. And there was some problems I'm sure we'll get into that we had with our growth, because we were growing so fast and we just really were out of control. And we learned a lot in that process. But, you know, the business took off, and we went on to achieve some pretty great things over the last 10 or so years. We were Google's first customer. We were Bing's first customer. We became an accelerator client for Facebook. We just recently run the Independent Retailer of the Year Award. So things have been great for us, and we've had an amazing journey. But, you know, I mean, for us, we haven't achieved what my brother and I set out to, which is to create a national chain of stores. And that's, I think we're really on the cusp of accelerating that growth now.
Yeah, it sounds excellent. So along the way on your journey, like doing the party sort of online, and I gather you don't do it just online, it's face-to-face as well?
Yeah, I probably didn't get to that, actually. We thought we were going to take over the world online. Now we think we're going to take over the world by being the market leader online and having a chain of stores to support that. So we see that the long-term plan for us is a combined strategy.
Mm. So there must have been like tipping points for change along the way. So to be thinking of going in both directions and that. Did you have like different decision points where you thought, well, maybe we should go this way, then you try it, then you go and try another way?
Yeah, it was quite an interesting ride. I mean, that first, when we took over, my brother and I, the business was in a really good position, that it was such, it did have such a good, strong digital presence. And really, we just opened the floodgates, and the business just accelerated within the first few months of us taking over. We went, you know, to doing 300% growth within a couple of months, and the business just wasn't set up for it. So we were in there packing, you know, I was working Woolworths night, you know, something like 8 a.m., 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., 7 p.m., and then coming in and packing till midnight and then doing it all over again. It was a real crazy time. So we went through sort of phases like that where we hit that first tipping point where we just accelerated and all of a sudden it was all out of control. Then we obviously got to a point where capacity became, and that hit us pretty quick. That didn't take very long for us to run out of capacity in all sorts of areas. So we ran out of room to pick, start. We ran out of storage space. We solved that problem. Then we had not enough workstations, so we put on more workstations. Then we needed more staff. We put on more staff. We went back to having more issues with capacity on storage, and those issues just kept hitting us. We weren't really well planned. And I would say probably a tipping point again came about two or three years in of doing it. We did it pretty tough the first year round because we were going so fast. And we said we'd change, but nothing really did because we were so busy and we just didn't get anything done in that next 12 months because we're just trying to keep up with the volume. And so we went through the same pain over and over. So it took us about 2 or 3 years to really realize that we really need to start planning, budgeting, forecasting for growth. And it took us about 2 or 3 goes at it, I would say, to really nail it down. And, you know, now we've got a business where we're forecasting 12 months out on most seasonal events because we do a lot of stuff with Christmas, Halloween, Easter. So we've got a whole program in place now where we manage it. But it took us 2 or 3 goes. So it's almost like the tipping point was there at the beginning. But, man, we really stumbled those first few times in trying to figure out how to solve that problem.
And so, like, you've had challenges on the way, but have you had any challenges that have made you feel like throwing in the towel?
I'd say no. I mean, nothing's really ever hit us to the point where we've gone, that's it. I mean, we've certainly stared down the barrel of oblivion a few times. I don't know that we would have, the fact that we're still here and we're doing really well probably shows that we're actually pretty pumped about just solving that problem and get on with it. Certainly cash flow and things like that started hitting us, and I don't think we ever got to a point where we went, oh crap, it's going to be all over. We just said, how do we dig deeper and get through this? And, you know, I think we've been fortunate. We had family and stuff to help us out, and, you know, my brother's my business partner, and so our respective families and friends and all sorts of people helped us dig us out of a few big holes over the years. But, you know, now we're at a scale where we can no longer rely on friends and family. If it doesn't even put a dent, you bring a few people in. So, you know, now it's a bit different. We have to be pretty well planned. Otherwise, we would be looking at a situation where we could be in quite big trouble. But yeah, I would say we haven't actually ever been to that point where we've said, that's it, we're done, I don't want to do it anymore. We've certainly had some problems, but yeah, not to that point.
Yeah. So what keeps you going? Like, what keeps you putting one foot in front of the other? Do you have like a big vision for it, or is it just something that you keep doing because you love doing it?
Yeah, look, I think it's always been about the vision for us that keeps us going, not so much just the little wins in between. It's where we want to go. We both quit our careers not just to run a couple of party stores and make a bit of money. If we wanted to make more money, we would have stayed in our corporate careers. But, I mean, yeah, certainly the vision of creating a national chain of party stores and being able to help everyone create the party of their dreams in Australia is what drives us and what makes us pumped every day. And I think it shows in all the little things you do. You know, I mean, it's very difficult for me to be hands off because I'm excited to see what my buyer is doing and what product she's bringing in. I'm excited to see what my web developers are doing to see if I can get involved there and provide my own 2 cents. And so I think that passion for the vision and where you're going, you know, it really helps keep me going on all those things. And then also, I mean, especially in the early days, I mean, as you know, with a lot of businesses, you have to do a lot of the dirty work, taking out the bins, doing the marketing and buying. In those early days, we did all the work ourselves. So, you know, I think any sane person probably wouldn't do all that stuff and put up with the crap that we did and work those hours. But, you know, we're so passionate about what we want to achieve that none of that stopped us.
Yeah, that's awesome. Before, we were talking about things have taken off at various points along the journey. Have you had like particular ignition points where things have really started taking off for you?
So obviously that first point where we turned things on and what we did was when my brother and I took over the business, we made some quite small changes, if you like, that had massive impacts. So these sound very tiny today, but don't even sound really that exciting. But we made, you know, back then when the internet was in its early days, all sorts of shipping models existed, and we were charging people, you know, $30 to Perth and $10 here, and Express you had to call to order and all this sort of stuff. We just put in a flat rate shipping, and we took a hit on those longer distances, and the volume went through the roof. We took off our advertising budgets that my parents had constrained us on, because, you know, they were pretty pumped about Yellow Pages, where we said, no, forget that. Let's go hard on digital. And the business just those small changes make huge differences to our volume. So it took off, and you know, it just kept growing from there. And really our issue was containing the volume rather than how do we actually grow. From there, the whole volume thing, we opened up a second store, which was partly driven by the digital, because we just, the site we were in, eventually we couldn't persuade the landlord to give us any more of the sites that were in that area. We took over the next door's lease. We took over the guy behind, took over a bunch of sites. And that was, you know, we couldn't grow anymore in that site. So we opened up another store. And then again, the business accelerated, because we thought that store would take, you know, 5 to 10 years to hit profitability, because we just thought, look, it's tough going. Businesses are hard to run, and it's going to be a hard going. We're going to take a lot of time to get this business, this store, profitable. And it was a very expensive and big site, so we thought it would take a long time. But that business did over $1 million in its first year on its own, which again, that was just another acceleration for us that, to be honest, we probably didn't need, because we were so busy. But it just put us in a whole nother ball game, and it was again another tipping point for us to have to deal with two stores now that were firing, and an internet operation that, I'll make it sound so terrible, but really, I mean, it was a great problem to have, but it really was pretty taxing on my brother and I's personal life, and working those hours, and even health with the hours we were working. It really wasn't healthy, because we were also partying at the same time, because we were all in our 20s. So we're working and partying those hours, and it really wasn't healthy. You know, things started to fall apart a little bit for us, but we managed to get through it, and things are a lot better now.
Yeah. So since you've had been changed into the business side of things, rather than being in, say, a corporate job, or, you know, being in those, what sort of possibilities have opened up for you?
In what sense? As in what sort of possibilities have opened up for me personally, or for the business itself?
It could be either. Like one of the possibilities is why you're on this podcast with the 1000 Ripple Effect project, you know, things like that.
Yeah, look, so definitely a lot of opportunities. So the business in the – actually, I'll start again. The business in the early days, I wouldn't say there was a lot of opportunities that really opened up for us. I mean, we were just focused head down getting through the volume. So nothing really sort of opened up. But as the business grew, people started to take notice. And that opened up all sorts of possibilities around suppliers, better deals. All of a sudden, people wanted to talk to us. And then I would say, again, I hit another tipping point when we appeared on Shark Tank. So I went on Channel 10 and pitched on Shark Tank. And that was, I guess, a personal tipping point for me, because all of a sudden I had a profile, like over 1 million people saw us pitch that episode, probably more than that because of the reruns. But over 1 million people saw my face on TV for 15 minutes. And it wasn't like an ad where you might not want to watch. Like, people were actually watching it because they wanted to watch. So people in the street, and even I think it was time for voting at that time, and I clearly remember going to vote for the local council or whatever, and the lady saw me in the line. She was about to get angry for me voting early, and then looked at me and went, oh, you were on Shark Tank last night, you know. So just those sort of things were interesting. And then everyone wanted to work with us, suppliers, people wanted to be franchisees, everyone wanted to be there, you know, work with us. Up until that point, we didn't really focus on our personal profile and stuff like that. We focused on the business and just being a quiet achiever, and really we didn't attend industry events, we didn't go anywhere, we didn't talk to anyone. People were really wondering who the hell we are, because why are we dominating an industry and none of our industry peers really knew who we were. And then at that point, after being on Shark Tank, really that put us in the spotlight, and I started doing speaking opportunities, and then I realized, and then I got some coaching from a mentor of mine that started talking to me about my personal brand and what I should be doing there and how it's good for business. And like you said, part of the reason I'm on this podcast is personal brand. It's good for business. It also helps me personally, and I get better at speaking as well. It's a personal growth thing. But also just other things. I mean, the biggest benefit that came out of all this was SEO, believe it or not. You know, every time I speak or whatever, people might post an article or make a comment somewhere or whatever it is, and all that conversation around me personally and the brand is resulting in Google seeing us as the biggest thing there is in party. So there's that benefit too. But certainly, you know, these days the networking opportunities are great. I get to meet lots of amazing people and get inspired by some great retailers, and really just that you know, that networking effect that it's now creating is great. And I'm, you know, creating some great relationships now and partnerships with other businesses and things like that.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. So what about the future? What's exciting about the future?
So I think, you know, I mean, it's probably taking us a lot longer to get to where we ever wanted to than we thought. You know, we really grew so quickly in the early days, but that was focused digitally. Now we want to open up a national chain of stores. And it's taken us a lot longer to actually figure out how to do that. We thought we were ready, but we really weren't a few years ago. And we spent the last few years really working on that business model. You know, I'm talking to you on the podcast now. I'm at home. I work from home now. So that kind of says a lot about where the business is at, that the business is running on its own steam and the systems and processes are in place. But don't get me wrong, I don't bludge while I'm at home. I actually work probably hard, just as hard as anyone else, and probably longer because I don't have to travel. But, you know, I'm spending a lot of time now focused on how do we build out that national strategy? How do we launch more stores? And there's a lot to that than just opening a store and away you go. There's systems, processes, procedures that all have to be scalable so that we don't just open up another store and have another headache. We want to actually open up and it just hums along and we can do 2, 3, 5 a year. So that's what we've been focused on. And so franchising is a strategy we're looking into at the moment. We're in feasibility. Just trying to figure out if franchising forms part of our model. We do have the funds to open up a new store. So really at the moment, we're just trying to figure out where we deploy those funds, and potentially some of that will be for franchising and some of it will be for our own new stores, because we'll probably run both strategies concurrently.
Oh, that does sound exciting. I like it. All right, let's have a change in pace and do the speed round.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, what's your favorite book?
Favorite book is The 1 Minute Manager.
Oh, yes, like it. Who's a mentor figure that's helped you the most?
Look, I had a mentor. His name's Leon Naxon, actually, and he runs a publishing company, Hay House, but he's just a personal friend of the family that, you know, has really given me a lot of great advice.
What daily ritual works best for you?
Oh, what daily ritual works best? I actually wake up at 4 a.m. and I start my day and I go to bed at around about 7 or 8. So getting up early certainly works well because I don't get bothered that first few hours of the day. You can really get stuck into it.
Yeah, it's a good time. Very productive. What's your favorite food?
Favorite food? Actually, I love trying all sorts of weird stuff when I travel. So I wouldn't say I have a particular favorite. I just love trying all sorts of different stuff. And I've eaten some weird things, from seahorses to sea urchins and turtle and things like that. So I just love trying new stuff.
Do you like the country or the city?
As Australia?
Yeah, whether you like living in the country, the city, or do you have a favourite country or city, either one?
Well, Sydney's my home and my family's all here, so I'd say I love the city. I love to travel, but yeah, I love Australia.
Yeah. What's the biggest piece of advice you can give to others to help them make change in their life?
The biggest piece of advice in their life, I mean, in business, I would say the biggest piece of advice I always give people is be the best at something very specific and start there. Don't try to be everything to everyone. Try to be the best at something to a specific customer base or group or whatever it is. So focus on something and be the very best at it.
Great advice. So last question, if you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
Look, like I mentioned in the thing there, we made a lot of mistakes early on. It took us a long time to deal with a lot of that growth we had. So if I had my time again, certainly I'd teach myself to plan better, forecast, and you know, just look a bit further ahead.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your valuable time today, Dean, and sharing your story with us. Would you like to give us the best place to contact you, and we'll end it there?
Yeah, look, if anyone wants to get in touch with me, jump on LinkedIn and look up Dean Salakis. You'll find me on there. You can also check out our website at The Party People and check out about Us page. There's some more details on me on there.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Igniters, Dean is an amazing business person whose passion and drive is inspirational. He has great advice to be the best at something specific. If you want to get in contact with Dean, go to his LinkedIn page, Dean Salakis, or his website, www.thepartypeople.com.au. If you want to learn more about balance, come to my website, leanneblaney.com.